Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Wanick, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live recording on how to stay positive in a negative world was recorded at our 2010 Phoenix Gospel Truth Seminar. And now, here's Andrew.
Let's turn over to Mark chapter 6. Is there anyone here that this is your first service that you've attended during this seminar? Could I see your hand? If this is your first one that you've been to? Praise the Lord. Still got a lot of new people. Well, welcome. What I've been teaching on is how to be positive in a negative world, or how to be encouraged when everybody else is discouraged, how to be in faith when everybody else is unbelief. There's just a lot of different ways you can express this. But there is a lot of iniquity abounding in our world today. And the Bible says that because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Matthew chapter 24, verse 12. And so we have to do something deliberate to counter this negativity and this coldness that is trying to cool our relationship towards God. So that's what we started talking about. And I've dealt with a number of different things. One of the first things I did was just say that you can walk in victory and confidence and boldness, be strong and of a good courage when everybody else is discouraged. You can do it because God commanded us to do it. He wouldn't have commanded us if we couldn't do it. And so I spent quite a bit of time talking about that and just discussing that. Last night, what I did was share about that if you are going to be positive in a negative world, if you're going to be in faith while everybody else is in unbelief, you've got to put a priority on the Word of God. And I could re-preach that message. I could preach that for the rest of my life. That is basically one of the most important things. And I don't believe you can have a very strong relationship with God if you don't know the Word of God. Because this is how He reveals Himself to us. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says, "According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him." All things. You know that healing for Hannah, if they hadn't have gotten knowledge, Hannah might have been touched, but she would have had these symptoms come back. They wouldn't have known how to stood, and Hannah wouldn't be with us today. Knowledge is how God revealed Himself and opened up a door to Ashley and Carly about this. Knowledge is how you get prosperity flowing in your life. Knowledge is how you are encouraged instead of discouraged. Man, that's just essential. And the next verse, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4 says, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises." So this knowledge that gives us everything that we need comes through the exceeding great and precious promises, which is talking about the Word of God. The Word of God is where this knowledge of God comes from. This is how He reveals Himself to us. You know, I think it's in 1 Samuel chapter 3, somewhere around verse 7. That it was talking about where God appeared unto Samuel when he was just a little kid, and he was working in the temple, and he was waiting on Eli the priest. And it says that Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. There is a connection there. If you don't have the Word of God revealed unto you, you don't really know the Lord. You can't know the Lord apart from His Word. This is how we get a revelation. You know, I was taught a lot of things as a kid. I was taught that God's the one that killed my father when I was 12 years old, that He took him. He needed him in heaven more than I needed him, is what the pastor said the morning he came over to tell me that my father had died. You know what? That's not true. God didn't need my dad in heaven. He wasn't short of angels or needed somebody else to work. That was wrong. God didn't kill my dad. I was told all kinds of things, and because of it, I had an opinion of God that kept me from having an intimate relationship with God, because I was told that God put things on you to punish you. God's the one that made children sick. There were people telling Ashley and Carly that it was God's will for Hannah to die, that maybe He doesn't heal everybody. You know what? If they hadn't got hold of the truth, how do you think that would have made them feel towards this God that killed their daughter, for however you package it? I guarantee you that hurts people's relationship with God. You need the truth of the Word of God. You cannot truly know God without knowing the revelation that is given in the Word. I just nearly preached on that again. But that is something that I could just preach on forever. I want to show you something that's subtle. Most people miss this, but look in Mark chapter 6. This is where Jesus fed the multitude. Mark chapter 6, in verse 35, it says, "And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, This is a desert place, and now the time is far spent. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." You know, this is just exactly the way it is in the church as a whole today. Now, there's good churches, but I'm saying that the church as a whole is not walking in the fullness of God and not meeting the needs of the people. And the people are saying, oh, if somebody's sick, we'll send them to the doctor. If somebody has a psychological problem, send them to the psychologist. If somebody has a financial problem, have you gone to social services? Have you checked with them? Have you applied for welfare yet? The church is sending people someplace else. And this is what the disciples wanted to do. Jesus, send the people away so that they can get their needs met. All you're for is just spiritual things. After a person dies, eternal things. Man, that's one of the reasons that the church isn't having a greater impact today is because God originally intended for the church to be meeting the needs of people, not only spiritually, but physically, getting their bodies healed. In Jesus' day, one of the reasons that he had the multitudes follow him is because he healed all of the people. And they cut holes in the roof and let the sick down in the midst. He drew people. He used miracles to draw people. And some people think, oh, but we're so much better today. We have the Word of God. We don't need miracles. How arrogant can you get to think that you got more than Jesus has? If Jesus needed miracles, if he used miracles to draw a crowd, it says in Hebrews chapter 2 that Jesus was confirmed unto us through the signs and wonders that God used. If Jesus had to have himself confirmed, who do you think you are? How special are you that you're better than Jesus and you don't need miracles? I'm telling you, the church should be meeting the needs of people today. And it ought to be that when somebody is sick, that the first place they run is to the church. But if they did that, if you went to the average church in Phoenix today and said, man, the doctors told me I'm going to die. Would you please pray for me? The average church would say, well, why are you coming here? Why don't you go get treatment? Have you done this? Have you done this? We'd send them someplace else. If the average person has a financial need, well, you know, go apply for welfare. Go get this program. That's not what God intended. Did you know that welfare is the way it works in our society today is not a godly concept at all. It makes people dependent. Matter of fact, I read something on the internet, I think it was just yesterday or it might have been the day before, about a woman who out of, I think, 50-something years, had only worked 1 year in her life. She had lived on welfare, lived in government housing, had lived dependent upon the government, and she went out 1 year and worked and said, "Phooey on this, I don't like this," and came back and just started living off of the government. She was able-bodied, she could work, but she just said, "Why work when the government will pay you not to work?" That's not good. That's not good. The Bible, if we were to follow the Bible's instructions, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 says, if you don't work, don't eat. If we said, all right, we'll help you temporarily while you're in this bad shape, and we will help you go get a job or you go do something, and if we tied our welfare or our helping other people to them trying to do something, I guarantee you the welfare system would be different. But the church is supposed to do these things. The church originally started nearly everything that we now have given over to the government. Did you know that the first prison in the United States was started by the Presbyterians? Because back in the early days of this country, they didn't have prisons. They didn't have all of these kind of things. And if you stole a piece of bread, they'd whip you publicly. If you stole another piece of bread, they'd put you in stocks in a public square and humiliate you, trying to keep you from doing it. And if you did it a third time, they'd kill you, put you to death for stealing a piece of bread. That was kind of severe. And so the Presbyterians decided, you know, some of these people are just hungry and they could be rehabilitated if we'd help them. And the Presbyterians started the first prison where they locked people up and rehabilitated them and taught them skills how to get out and work. And it was so successful that the government saw it work. And so the government started prisons and the church advocated their responsibility for helping people and gave it over to the government. And now we have a prison system that the recidivism, how do you say that? Was that close? the return rate of people who have been in prison and get out and then go back to prison, the return rate on that is something like 80 or 90%. If you weren't a criminal when you go to prison, you will be a criminal when you get out of prison. It's not working because the church should have done this. The church should have been rehabilitated. And when you put like prison fellowship and other ministries that are going in, their success rate jumps up to where they have like 70 or 80% of the people that go through their program do not go back to prison. Because you put God into it and rehabilitate people and everything changes. But the government has taken over what the church started. Did you know that church is the one that started schools? The government didn't start schools. It was not normal for people to have schools. And this nation was founded on the Word of God. Thomas Jefferson started a Bible society and put a Bible into every child's hand in this country. People say that he was, you know, not a Christian and stuff, and he wasn't one of the best examples of a Christian. He had some things that weren't right, but he understood the power of the gospel, and he started a Bible study that put a Bible in the hand of every child in this nation. The church started schools, and they used the Bible, and the purpose of starting the schools was so people could read the Word of God and could get changed. And the church started schools. And, of course, as people became educated and were able to read, it made a difference. Those people succeeded and prospered more than people that didn't have education. The government saw the benefit, and so the government took it over. And now we have an educational system that is basically telling people that a homosexual lifestyle is just part of it, that some of you are homosexuals, and they're teaching this in their school. They're teaching acceptance of these things. They are making fun of the Bible. They have kicked God out of schools, kicked prayer out of schools, because the church shouldn't have ever turned responsibility for education over to the government. Most of us have been raised under that system, and we haven't even questioned it, but it shouldn't have ever been this way.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on how to stay positive in a negative world. This 5-part teaching series was recorded at our 2010 Phoenix Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series R1065C for CD or R3209D for DVD when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The fourth CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request RHT26 when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111, and our web address is awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
I'd like to introduce to you a brand new feature that we have, and that's our online Charis Bible College School. We have about 15 different locations around the world where we have Charis Bible College Schools. We've had correspondence where you send in and get CDs and have tests that you send in and they get graded. But now we've started an online Bible school where you can actually sign up with other people, go through the classes. It's a structured thing, and yet it's flexible enough that you can make it according to your schedule. Wherever you are, you can get on this, and you have a facilitator that comes on and interacts with you, and it's the next best thing to being in one of our Charis Bible Colleges. I think it'll be a blessing to you, so check it out. You can call 719-635-1111, or you can go to our website, awmi.net.